Thank you, ladies. All right. We're picking up in our series on Proverbs. We've been looking at finances. We have the handouts right tonight. Good. And we've been spending many weeks on finances. We're coming to the end, and we're going to be very practical this evening about it. of course, Proverbs is the book on wisdom, and wisdom deals with many aspects of life, some practical. And so, the book of Proverbs deals with finances and the right attitude and so forth and so on. So we want to look at that tonight. By way of review, a couple of weeks ago, we did number 16 through 19. We said wealth can bring a false sense of security. We said number 17, when you give to those in need, you are lending to God. We said number 18, it is never a bad idea or investment to give to those in genuine need. That's the key word there. And then a life devoted, to playing and pleasure leads to poverty. Now, let's start with something brand new. Here we go. Number 20, okay? Don't spend all you have. Think ahead. Don't spend all you have. Think ahead. So that's a real good one to tell us at Christmas time. You probably already spent it all on Black Friday, right? Don't spend all you have, think ahead. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says, there is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. So the wise man, his treasure is not depleted. He has some, and there's oil in the dwelling of the wise. Of course, oil is what they would need in the basic necessities in their life. But the foolish person spends every single penny they have. They don't think ahead. Many people, when it comes to their finances, you know, it's like, is there something coming up? Is this bill? Can we pay it? They have to stop and think about it. Now I had this and I spent that and this is coming up and that's going, and then did I spend that? That's not how you live, okay? We need to have a little foresight in what to doing. Now, there are extremes in everything that we do, especially with finances. I think on your sheet there it has, there are two extremes in finances. The first one there is hoarding. What is hoarding? Hoarding is keeping too much. Hoarding is the going beyond the wise here that have oil in their house and there's treasure in their house. These people, they're holding on to as much as they can. They don't want to do anything to the point where they violate some of the principles we looked at earlier, giving to those in need and being generous and spreading out. The Bible tells, he that scattereth and yet increaseth, okay? That's a hoarder. They don't do that. They keep everything for themselves. But on the other hand, you have someone else, and this is the one who is spending, not keeping enough, okay? They can't keep it. They're always short. They're always behind. You know, these payday loans and all these things, because they're spending so much, they dig a hole. And by the way, once you start to dig a hole like that, if you're not careful, that hole gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But we don't want to be like that. The wise have what they need. They don't run out. But the foolish spends all that he has, and he will run out. What is the difference? The wise man thinks ahead. And the foolish one, they don't think ahead. Everything's about right now. Everything is about in the moment. Okay? And by the way, let me say this. Your bills, you know your bills are coming. Now, there are bills that come. You know, you might get a flat tire or something happens here or something like that. But, you know, your bills, you know they're coming. They're coming every week or every month. There's no surprise there. If you're surprised by them, it is because you are simply not taking the time to look at what you have and to think ahead and be prepared for those bills that are coming. By the way, that's a stressful way to live. Very stressful. That's how the foolish live. We need to be good stewards of what we have so we can use what God gives us and have our needs met. Sometimes our needs are not met, and it's not because we don't have enough to meet our needs. It's because we're not being good stewards with what we have, and we're wasting what we have, which could take care of our needs. That's why it takes diligence. We have to look to the future. Now, I will say this. Sometimes we can be in situations to where things are tight or something comes, and we, through no fault of our own, we're in emergency mode. I understand that. But let's not live in emergency mode simply because it's self-inflicted, because we're not being diligent with what God has for us. There will or has come a time when you have to do that. Try to get away from the stress of living paycheck to paycheck. And sometimes we have to do that. I've done it. Sometimes it's tighter. I understand that. But let's make sure that we look at what we have and we are planning. Sometimes you have to cut back to really get to where you need to be. It can be very unpleasant. When we first started working at the church full-time, salary, and I quit doing the business I had, and we're living in an apartment, we were very, very, very tight. In fact, it was depressingly tight. And, you know, our money and our bills never really matched up. And that's just something we had to go through for a while and just kind of be creative and cut back and do the things we had to do. You know, if people, during that time, we had to be responsible with our finances. If someone came to us, you know, after church, it happened, said, hey, we're going to get something. Why don't you come? And we'll go and so forth. But there were times, hey, let's go get something to eat. It's like, oh, no, thanks. That's not necessarily that we didn't want to go with them. It's because we didn't have money. Okay? You know, did you eat out during that time? No, I'm not opposed to eating out every now and then. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. I'm not opposed to that, but for a long time, we never went anywhere, not Taco Bell or anything. Why? We couldn't afford it. I mean, we were on right there, and we just had to do what we had to do. So sometimes you have to do that. How can we get to where we're living like this? Like this mentions here. Where everything's not emergency, everything's not spin up, everything's not trying to catch up. Here it is. It's that one dirty little word no one likes to hear in church. You ready? Budget. Sorry, I cussed. Pray for me. Budget. How do you think the wise man got to where he had extra money? It didn't say rich man. It said wise man. Rich man may have more than he needs because he's making an abundance of money or he's doing real well. But a wise man, because he knows what's going on. He's paying attention to his finances. He's working diligently. He knows what's going on, and he knows what he's spending and where he is spending it. Take care of all your monthly bills. Make sure you're doing that. Prioritize your bills. You have bills that come every month, okay? Have those bills, put them in priority, know when they're due, know what's going on, and be ready to pay them and prioritize them. We have ours. I've always had ours. We have our budget, and I prioritize them. Number one at the top is for us is always our tithing and our giving, and then we have our other things in order after that. Then what you do is you take all of your monthly income. Know how much you have to know how much your bills are each month, and then know how much your monthly bills are each month. And then as your money comes in, you set that money aside for all of your bills based on priority. That's how you got to do it. Put it away. If you don't put, look, Some people are like, okay, look, I can buy this, and then I know that bill's due, and I'm going to get paid on Friday. That'll be like this much, and that bill's down. I think I can cover that bill. That's not how you do it. Okay, have that money set aside. You ought to know how much. If something comes to you that's like extra that you need, that's extra money, you ought to know if you have a budget, if you have extra money for that. It's not, you know, flipping a quarter like, I hope I'm going to have enough, and I'm not going to mess myself up here. Make sure you do that. You should avoid, and also you should consider making sure that you have a little savings for emergencies. Now, for many years, we didn't have anything like this, like a saving for emergencies. You got to be kidding me. But when we got to where in our budget we had a little extra money, then I set aside a little to get a little set aside to where if an emergency comes up, that's taken care of. Now, I'll be honest, some of you say, I'm not there. That's fine. Do your best. Be faithful to God. He'll take care of you. But if you have that money, you know, and a tire comes, you have that little money set aside that you can pay for that tire, and you have it, that's looking ahead. And there's been times in our life where we weren't able to do that. And when something came up, we had to basically pray for it. Okay? I'm not saying this, but in the early days when we were working here, we didn't have money. Like Christmas time came up. There was probably three or four. We didn't buy anything for our children. Not that we didn't want to. We just didn't have money. Okay? Now, we prayed and so forth, and our kids were always taken care of. Of course, we had grandparents that would always, you know, it's like, hey, we really don't need to do this right now. The grandparents are hooking up. We didn't have money for it. Now we have money. We'll get things for them. But you have to look at what you have. I read a book one time about finance, and he mentioned, he goes, one thing you should do is get your budget, start living by your budget, and as soon as you can, try to build up a little side thing of about, his suggestion is $1,000, whatever it is for you, so that when you have an emergency, you don't kill your budget, you can pay that off, and then slowly work when you get a little extra money to build that back up to $1,000 for that emergency. So do what you can. Now, be careful, I think this is in your paper, be careful about what I call budget killers. What are budget killers? Are you ready? Credit cards. Credit cards are killers. I can buy that now and pay for it later. Yes, at 20-something percent interest. That's ridiculous. Okay? Be very careful about that. Well, you know, I can make that payment and I'll get this and I'll get that and then it's the next thing, and it's the next thing. Be very careful. Credit can be an absolute killer, especially those of you that are young. Well, I'm not married, and I'm single, and okay. How many people get married and bring some credit debt into their marriage? That's a killer, okay? Be careful about credit cards. Unnecessary loans. Well, I'll get this. I could just take out a loan. Okay, do you know that in the moment it always seems like a good idea, but you know, believe it or not, they expect you to pay that back. Oh, you knew that. What? Yeah, they expect you to pay that back. And they don't give out loans because they're benevolent. We really want you to have this really bad, so we'll give you a loan. No, they're making money off of you. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous the amount of credit card applications we get in the mail. I go through the mail at our house. And I get the mail, and there'll be a whole stack of mail. And I just go through it. I don't even open. Okay, Capital One, rip, throw it away. This one, rip, throw it away. Within 2 minutes, I got two things out of all that stack of mail. Because all the rest are credit this and credit that. I just throw them away. I don't look at them. Be very, very careful. Next, impulse buying. Impulse buying. You know what impulse buying is? You don't? She doesn't know what it is. She shook her head. No. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's when you go buy an impulse. Just kidding. Impulse buying is when you weren't planning on buying it, but you walk by and it looks so good and the salesman was smooth. The next thing you know, you walked out with it. That's why people go shopping. I mentioned before, on our anniversary in the summer, I took the day with my wife and we went to some places. And you know what ladies like to do? They like to shop, right? We went down to, I think we ended up at Seal Beach, the little street, main street. And we were walking through stores, and it's all girls' stores, and like, whatever. And then they had a store for guys. And it had some cool stuff. It had this little beautiful metal box, real manly. And it had this wax stuff in it that was like cologne or something. Now, it looked like a really bad way to put cologne on, but I wanted to buy it because it looked really neat. They had some man shirts. It was like the way they did the store was, and I'm like, I want to buy stuff. And I'm like, I don't need any of this. I'm like, I know, but I need it. Why? Because it looks good and it looks manly. I mean, it makes me want to go cut down a tree or something. Of course, if you cut down a tree, you go to jail, so don't do that. That's how they get us, right? We didn't need it, but we walked in, and all of a sudden, I can't live without it. That's impulse buying. By the way, a budget's good for that. Because if you do a little diligence and you work your budget, you know how much extra money you have. And you know if you can afford that or not. And it's a choice you make. Instead of just like, yeah, I have to have it. Impulse buying. Overpaying. That's the next one. Overpaying. By the way, you're going to go buy something, and then it's like you're going to see it on sale somewhere else. I hate, we have several cars. I got 100 people in our family that drive. And it seems like everybody's going somewhere in different locations, so they all need to drive the car. I hate not getting gas at Sam's Club or Costco. I hate it. Okay? I can't say never. 95% of the time, I have a system. I fill my car up at Costco every week. I go visit Pastor Esposito every single Monday. And when you get off the freeway on Beach Boulevard, right there is a Costco. And so every Monday, I get off the freeway to visit Pastor. I fill it up at Costco. Why? It's the cheapest. By the way, Arco's pretty cheap too, but they do charge you 45 cents. And if you're getting 12 gallons, that's adding like 3 or 4 cents a gallon. But that's why. Now, sometimes the car is on empty. Girls, I'm not going to be mean here, but they have a tendency to run things down to E. Okay? And then the closest place to our house is Shell. Shell's like 30 cents more a gallon. That irritates me. I get in one of the other cars. It's not my car for some reason. And the gas gauge is pointing to my feet. Okay? It's like, all right, this thing is not, it's empty. And I have to go to Shell. I'll just get $5 or $10 just to get it so I can get it to somewhere else where it's cheaper. I hate paying. But look at what you're buying. Learn to get deals. Price shop on purchases, especially big ones. Don't overpay. Okay? Here's another budget killer. Eating out too often. Okay. Now look, if our family was just my wife and I, we could go out to some fast food place and it costs us $6. Our family goes out and they ask for a credit card. Okay? It's like $112.42. You got to look, just be careful about eating out. Nothing wrong with eating out. You shouldn't eat out all the time. First of all, it's not healthy for you. But you'd be surprised how much that adds up to. And, you know, and I go sometimes, we go with the kids, and it's like, well, I've really cut back on fast food, but we'll go through. It's like, all right, you can eat here. But value menu feast, the 99-cent menu, they want the designer things, you know, the Del Double Cheese Taco with 5 sets of beef, okay? That thing's like $4.50. No, you're getting the 99-cent bean burrito that doesn't even come with hot sauce. Are you with me? But let's have the value menu feast. But be careful about eating out too often. Here's one, and I try not to do this because I'm bad at it, carrying cash. If I have cash in my pocket, we're spending it. It's like, it's in my pocket, and I got to spend it. Isn't that why it's there? It's so much easier not to, so be careful. Here's something you could really cut back, and I know sometimes your work schedule, you have to do this, but if you really want to cut back sometimes, buying lunch every day is expensive. Really is. Think you only spend $5 a day. That's $25 a week. That's carry the one. That's a lot every month. That's over $100 every month. Think about that. You start just taking a sandwich or something healthy or buying stuff here or there or something. You could save money that way. Be careful about budget killers. What does a budget do for you? Okay, you ready? It allows you to obey God in giving. Some people struggle with giving to God, and they know they should, and they know it's right, but because you're not good with your budget, you're running out of money, so you don't give God his. Now, God shouldn't be at the back end anyhow, but that's a discussion for another point. Okay? But even some, like, man, I'd like to give more to the building. I'd like to be involved in missions, but we're so tight. Sometimes we're tight. I understand that. But are we tight because we're not good with the money that God has given us? See, if stewardship is true, and it is, then maybe God gives more money to, or allows people to use more money, or allows them to steward more money if they're good with the money which he gives them in the first place. Does that make sense? If I was a businessman, I had someone working with me and I'm investing money in them, if they're being productive, I'm going to invest more money in them. If they're not being productive, I'm probably not going to invest money in them. I'll invest it in somebody else. So being a good steward of that which God gives to us. But if you have a budget, it'll allow you to be able to do that. Next, it provides for your bills. You know the monies for your bills that are coming up are there because you've budgeted that money and you've set it aside for that. So there's no stress there. It helps you to be self-accountable. Self-accountable. What does that mean? You're able to be accountable with what you have. And by the way, it was a lot harder back in the day. I've always kind of been a budget guy. You know, and back before the computers, you had to get the little book with all the little lines on it. You had to do everything manually. And here's this budget, that budget. Now with computer programs, you can do it just like that. You can keep track of everything you're doing. You can, in fact, look at your bank account and see all that's been paid and see what's going on there. You can keep track of it fairly easy, and you can know down to the penny how much money you have. If you came to my house today and said, how much extra money do you have over and above your budgeted items for the next month? I think ours is already in, starting into the beginning of January. And I could go, I could open up my computer program. I could tell you exactly how much extra money I have to the penny. Okay, to the penny. Why? I want to know. Something comes up, do we have the money for it? I can open up and say, we have the money for it. Because the money for the other stuff has been set aside. I like to live like that. You say, you're a nutcase. Well, I have other issues too. Next, it provides a way for you to get out of debt. You say, you know, I am struggling with debt. There was some time I allowed myself to get into debt, and now I'm trying to get out of it. Having a budget will allow you to do that. Next, it'll allow you to get a little ahead. Keeping track of your money and seeing where it goes. Man, you track it and say, wait a minute, I didn't understand we were wasting this much money over here. We can cut back a little and save some money here. All righty, so that's that. Number 21. Borrowing puts you in bondage to those whom you borrowed from. Borrowing puts you in bondage to those whom you borrowed from. The rich, Proverbs 22:7, ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. That doesn't sound very good. Servant is like slave. Okay? If you owe somebody money, you're literally a servant to them. Slave. How do the rich rule over the poor? It has to do with money and wealth. If you borrow, you're a servant or slave to the one who you borrowed from. Now, we already talked a little bit about borrowing between family and friends, okay? Principle I live by is I don't lend anybody money unless I'm willing to give it to them. Because I don't want there to be stress if they don't pay it back. And by the way, most times they're not going to pay it back. So you need to understand that because it causes relationship issues. It's better just to give them the money and avoid all that in the first place. The average American owes $8,000 in credit card debt, $7,000 on car loans, $6,500 in student loans. When you add mortgage and other consumer debt, the average American family owes $150,000. Some estimates put that debt at over $200,000. That's a lot. It's a lot of money. We're putting ourselves in bad situations. There is a bondage that comes with debt. Where do you feel that bondage the most? I'll tell you where you feel that bondage the most, in your budget. Not just because of the money you owe, because of the interest that comes with it and because of the time frame you're locked into. Okay? You can scale back on some things, can't you? If it gets really tight, you know, we can be a little better at shopping for groceries. We'll cut back on some of the things we get that maybe aren't necessities that we like, but we can cut back for a little bit, that type of thing. But when you owe money to somebody, that's not a possibility. That's due. You owe that every single week. A lot of you just need to do plastic surgery. Not like that plastic surgery, okay? Plastic surgery cutting your credit cards. If you have borrowed, you are under an obligation to pay it off, by the way. Proverbs, look at Psalms 37:1. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Ouch. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Okay? So if you if you borrow, you have credit debt, God expects you to pay that off. Well, it's hard. I'm feeling the pain and pressure. That's the bondage of borrowing. Let me give you, especially you young people, and we have a couple getting engaged, newer marrieds. Let me explain something to you. In the early part of your marriage, it's okay to tough it out a little bit. Don't think you always have to, right off the bat, have the biggest and best. If you can, for some reason, God gave you a great job or something, you can buy this, that's fine. But sometimes we set our bar so high. You say, well, you don't understand. The girl that I'm dating or the girl I'm engaged to, she's this kind. She's a diva. You know, she's got to have this stuff. Here, let me give you some really good advice. Run! I mean, look at her and say, go the other way. Let me just tell you something. It's going to get worse with age. Oh, she always have to have the best thing, you know. We can't go to McDonald's. Well, that's actually a good thing. We got to get steak and this and that. There's nothing wrong with getting your wife something nice if you can afford it, okay? But you need someone that if you don't have money to get something nice, they're okay with whatever you can get them because you're going to have that thing. Struggle it out. When we first got married and we moved to Florida, I told you, it was a struggle for us. We moved down there without furniture. I was just kind of like, God wants us down there, let's go. And I didn't really think the thing through. I brought a little bit of furniture, but let's get rid of everything. God will provide for us. He was a little slow on the providing part. I think he was trying to teach us some lessons here. Our furniture, we got our furniture. We lived in a huge apartment complex, and people moved out all the time, and they threw their stuff that they didn't want to take in the back. And by the way, sometimes the picking was good. I remember one time I found this really nice couch, and we needed a couch. And I'm like, that's a nice couch. Well, I took it up my apartment. When I set it upright to bring it up the stairs, all these little animals started running out of it. There was all these bugs in it. But I was like, this was a really nice couch. So I kind of took it apart. I took it. I don't think my wife knew this until afterwards, which God bless her. I fumigated the thing. I killed everything out of it. I cleaned the thing completely. I mean, I think I took everything off, and I scrubbed that thing down because I said, you know, bugs or no bugs, this is a nice couch. I'm cleaning this thing. And I spent all day cleaning that thing and drying it and, like, you know, like, oh, that's nice. It's really nice, hon. She should have saw it that morning. It was not nice at all. When we had Jessica, we didn't have a crib. We had zero furniture for her. And so So I'm like, where do you put her? I didn't want her sleeping in bed with us. So I went and got a cardboard box. Okay. I put it on the floor next to our bed, which was easy because our bed didn't even have rails. I put it on there. I put a pillow inside of it. And then I put a sheet over it so that you couldn't tell it was a cardboard box. I figured that'll be okay for a few months because she's not going to be moving around, right? Now, later on, we were able to find a crib for her. I'm not saying she was in a cardboard box her whole life. I'm just saying. Maybe she should be, right? That'd be a good thing. But I'm saying it's okay to struggle sometimes. It is. By the way, thank God I had a wife that didn't bother her. So now that she has furniture that is decent, she's happy, but she's no more happier than when our kid was living in a cardboard box. When we started working at the church, we had to move to a really small apartment, and Stephen didn't have a room. And in the hall, it was a real small apartment, but in the hallway, it had a little bit of a walk-in closet. That was his room. And then over the course of a couple of years, he outgrew it. You know, every couple of weeks you walk and his feet are farther out into the hallway. So finally he had to move out of there and live in the living room. But you know what? It's okay to struggle a little bit. You'll appreciate what you have. Don't think you have to go, well, you know, that's fine. Let me give you a few ways to avoid debt. Watch out, as I already mentioned, watch out for credit cards. By the way, if you have credit cards, I'm not completely against credit cards. I know there's credit cards, you pay your bills, and you get money back. That's great, do it, okay? But pay that credit card off at the end of the year, at the end of the month. I think it's the end of every month, or else you start getting, okay? We have, I tell you, my wife's second church is Kohl's. And so We have a Kohl's card because when you use the Kohl's card, you get, we usually get 30% off, right? But you pay it off. Okay? Don't just get a bunch of, oh, I need to establish credit. I have 10 credit cards. You're not establishing credit, you're establishing death. Because you're going to use those things, it's going to kill you. You don't need a bunch of credit cards. Be very careful about it. Here's a principle to live by. If you can't afford it, don't get it. Can't afford it, don't get it. When I was in the early days of the church, we had our own business. In the early days of cell phones, because of the business we had, I always had a cell phone. I didn't get the big, you know, the big brick one, you know, with the wire. I didn't have one of those, right? That was way a long time ago. But you remember the little gray brick? It was almost like boat-shaped. I remember those, a little flip thing down on it. It had a battery life of 30 minutes. You couldn't leave it on and people call you. You had to have a pager. And so what people would do is they would, if I'm out and about working, because we manage properties and I'd be from San Diego to here, you know, you get a call on the beeper, you get the beeper, then I turn my cell phone on and I answer the phone call, then you turn it right back off because, again, 30 minutes and that thing is dead as a doornail. But I always had one of those. And when we had to scale back a lot because we were working full-time here at the church and we took a serious pay cut and we were living in the property we were managing, I got rid of the cell phones. I mean, that was just easy. We always had cell phones. I'm like, can't afford it. Everybody was starting to get them at that time. It's like, we can't afford it. I got rid of them. No big deal. Why? Couldn't afford it. So when I can afford it, I'll get a cell phone. But right now, we're at the point where we can't. So you do it. If you can't afford it, don't get it. Be content. Be content. Okay? Advertisement's goal is to get you what? Discontent. You love that new car you got in 2014 until the 2015 model came out. You're like, well, wait a minute. That one has just a little better design. I mean, the seats go down just an inch flatter. Okay? Isn't that how we are, right? Okay, oh, we should have waited that 6 months. And then you get that one, 2016 comes out. Now it's like, I wish I would have got the 2016 until 2017. So be content. God bless you. Have a budget. We already mentioned that. Have a budget. Now, what if I'm in debt? Okay, let me give you a couple of these and we're done. Rob a bank. Just kidding. Play the lotto. It's a great investment. By the way, you have a better chance of getting hit by lightning. You know that, right? Yeah. Okay. Here, what if I'm in debt? Now, this sounds counterintuitive, but this is just me, and it's the Bible, but it's me. Tithe. I would tithe. As tight as we got at times, as tight as we got, we always tithed. And there was many times back, especially in the early days of our marriage, was easier to keep weight off back in those days too. We tithe when we didn't have money at the end of our budget for groceries. That's just how it was. Because I just thought, you know, I'm going to give God his. He'll provide for me. And by the way, guess what? God did. Okay? I weighed 100 pounds, but God provided. Just kidding. I wish. Tithe. Are you trying to get out of debt? The first thing you do is you need the blessing of the Lord. You need God on your finances. You need God working things out for you. And, you know, God, it's like testing God's faith. Like, God, I'm going to still tithe, but I'm going to work on this, and I bet you God might help. I already mentioned this. Quit using debt. Just kill it. Have a plastic surgery contest. Get a scissors and just cut those things up. Next, follow a plan to get out of it. Follow a plan to get out of it. By the way, there's a systematic plan that you can put together to get out of it. It's very, very simple. Not simple, but the formula is simple. Figure out how much money you can put towards all your credit debt that you're trying to get rid of, how much money in your monthly budget you can, okay? Then list all of your credit that you need to get out of. Then you look at all those lines of credit. You take the one with the highest interest. You make minimum payments on everything except the one with the highest interest. If you're putting $600 towards debt, put minimum on all the rest on all of your debt except for the highest interest one, and then whatever's left of your $600, put all of that on the high interest one. Then once that one is killed, then you take the second highest interest, make the minimum payments on all the other ones, take everything you have left and put it on the second, and just systematically kill them off. Okay? You want to, you say, well, that's tough. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a lot less time than if you wait to do it. Yeah. Okay, start now. Work on it. Cut back seriously if you have to. Look at things that you can do, that you can get away with. You know, well, I have someone mow my lawn. Well, you know what? Maybe you could save some money if you're really tight, mow your own lawn. Okay, what can you do? Go down to the ocean and wash your clothes in the ocean. Just kidding. Don't do that. You smell like fish. Where can you cut back? You know, okay, hey, we're not eating out at all. If I have that life support budget, we're not even going to ring Taco Bell. Okay? We're just not doing it. Cut back until you get out of debt. And then consider ways to increase income. That's where the robbing the bank comes into play. Consider ways to maybe increase your income a little bit. The thing is, these two points, and we'll stop here, it's all about this. Be wise, think ahead with your income, and have a plan for your money. You know, finances are one of the number one killers of marriages. It causes stress. It causes all kinds of issues. So maybe we should be a little more proactive with it, and we won't feel quite so bad, and we understand that we're on the right path.